listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2019. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly with us as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. I'd like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief to kind of set the tone for the program as is customary. The first principle of belief is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And to read the full expanded version of these 9 principles, please visit our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So it's good to have so many with us tonight. Welcome to everyone. We got people from around the world. Julian from Spain, I believe, 4 a.m. in the morning. You're either really dedicated or crazy, but it's good to have you here. 4 a.m., yeah, that's... Boy, yeah, from Spain, yeah.
Enthusiastic.
So. Yeah, that's enthusiasm for sure.
Yes, it
but
is.
It's good to have everybody here, and we welcome those listening to the archives as well. So tonight, the topic that we're going to discuss is cutting the cord to spring ahead. And it's basically a concept that's been around, used in hypnosis and other areas, Reiki and such, of cutting a cord to, you know, that ties you to something that you want to let go of, so to speak. And it came about because the other day my cousin Sheila, who's actually in the chat room tonight with us, gave me a call and we were talking and she was encouraging and she was talking about this concept of cutting the cord and using in her Reiki and it was an encouraging conversation. And I thought, you know, it's something that I want to talk about on the program tonight. And I know it's helped Sheila. And, you know, her and I were 4 months apart and we grew up together and she's such a sweetheart. She's got a great heart. She's a gifted artist, some beautiful paintings. And I miss her. I haven't seen her in a while, but we talk, you know, fairly often. She'd probably talk more, but anyway, so she inspired tonight's concept of cutting the cord. And it's really not a hard concept. Basically, think about something that you wish you could stop doing, you know, some behavior, some habit, some whatever. You find you're just having such a hard time letting go of it. Well, use the concept or the visual of cutting the cord. Imagine that there's a rope or a string or something tied to you and tied to this thing that you're trying to let go of. And you take some scissors in your mind and you simply clip the cord, cut it, clip the string, let it go. And you do that again and again in your mind. It's a visual. And it will help you to let go of whatever it is you want to let go of and move on with a more healthy behavior. So, for example, you know, I grew up in an alcoholic home, right? A lot of us did. And it's, I mean, it's not, I'm certainly not an exception to the rule here, unfortunately. But a lot of us did. And one of the things that goes along with growing up in an alcoholic home is the concept of waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's the crisis mentality. You know, you're always waiting for a crisis, and if a crisis doesn't come around, you create a crisis by misbehaving or creating, you know, starting an argument or whatever it is. There's a lot of people who have the crisis mentality, and if a crisis is not around, they're going to create one. And it's all an mostly it's an unconscious thing. But this concept of waiting for the other shoe to drop, I mean, I lived with that for a long time, a lot of years, and fought that whole thing. Well, you know, of late I've been wondering if that hasn't been subtly trying to creep back in certain ways. And so that's an example of cutting the cord to let it go. So let's just use that as an example, and maybe you can apply this to something that you're trying to let go of, you're trying to stop, whatever it is. So let's say you've got the same thing, you're trying to get away from this thing of waiting for the other shoe to drop all the time. So you clip the cord, you cut it in your mind, you go through the visual, and then you ask yourself, okay, so what if the other shoe drops? Who cares? So what? That's another powerful thing that you might want to use. It, you know, sometimes we get stressed out over something that might happen. You know, that's worry, right? Borrowing, imagine trouble from the future to worry about today and stress over today. But what would it matter if you just let it happen? Obviously, you can't apply this to everything, but a lot of the stuff we worry and stress over is, a lot of times, it's just not that big of a deal. So what if we said, so what? Let it happen. What's the worst that can happen? And we go through that. It's all a process of trying to let go of behavior and things that we want to let go of. Any comments, Dr. Hunter?
Well, it is, when you're talking about the alcoholic background, the alcoholic family and the skills we get, what I kind of did, not only letting go of the cord or cutting that cord, is to remind myself that if I had the skills to survive it then, I have the skills to survive anything now. I just don't need those skills today. So I can let go of it in a lesser, some of those habits in a lesser impactful way. I can kind of make peace with the fact that I can kind of deal with anything. And I just don't need to have, you know, they say that chip on your shoulder or the monkey on your back or whatever, right, that you're always on edge. I don't need to be on edge. I have the skills to manage life as it comes to the best of my ability. So I can let go of my fear. I can let go of my anger. I would challenge myself every year for many years. Like on my birthday, I'd kind of project, okay, I want to challenge myself with in this year. Although I don't recommend it for everybody because, boy, you'll get it. But it was a self-challenge, you know, to progress, to let go of past behavior, past even people. I got to tell you, even people. Mm-hmm. And so I'm totally on board, but that's it. I have the skills. So life is going to happen anyway. I just don't need to be on edge all the time.
See, and that's a perfect example. If we feel like we're on edge all the time, we need to release the need to be on edge all the time. And that's another great concept to think of. To use that terminology, I release the need to blank. Think about that. I release the need to blank. And you have to do a little bit of soul searching. At times, for example, here's another example in my own life. You know, I want to spend more time doing my music. I don't spend as much time as I would like to. And sometimes I just feel like I can't get in there and wrap my brain around it because my mind is elsewhere. It's around the school. It's, you know, it's doing the other things. And I can't seem to get my mind on to my music as often as I want. And so I analyze that and say, what's keeping me from that? You know, well, and here we get back into that, maybe waiting for the other shoe to drop. Well, you know, I need to be free, mentally free and all that to deal with students or to help them or to do something with the school or to take care of things that I need to take care of, you know, regarding the church or whatever. And that's all irrational. It's all imaginary. There's no crises here, right? But it keeps me from doing something I want. So to go through that, what is it? What cord do I need to cut? I need to cut the cord that ties me to that thing that keeps me from doing what I want. Or I need to release the need to feel that way. I need to release the need to feel like I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. I need to release the need to keep that shoe from dropping. Let it drop. What's going to happen? The world's not going to stop turning. It's not going to be the end of the world. So those are just some of my own examples, and that you might be able to take and apply. But use that concept of cutting the cord, releasing the need. How about weight loss? I release the need to carry extra weight. That's a great thing. If you want to stop smoking, I release the need to smoke. I'm not a smoking Nazi. I smoked for a long time. Don't smoke anymore, and it's just one of those things. It's neither here nor there. It's just one of those things. But if that's something that you want to do, you can do it. Or losing the weight, or fear of something. I release the need to be afraid of bridges, or whatever it is, or flying. You can use those terms in your own self-hypnosis. Michael, did you have any concepts you wanted or thoughts you wanted to add?
Well, I've been listening to the discussion, and obviously as I, hear the things described and think about, growing up in a home like that and having that kind of crisis mentality, I have, flashbacks to certain moments and, times that you realize that you made a problem worse just by worrying about it too much or creating something from nothing. And it's always good to reference our past and our history to kind of guide our future, but we have to keep it in its proper place and its balance. And when it's not conducive to moving forward with our lives, we have to let it go and cut the cord. We have to be able to move on. And I have to say, it's been a good discussion for me to hear, and I've been reflecting on it a lot, and it's just, I think what I've been coming back to is just having the balance, being able to finally remember your past and your history and let go of the things that you need to let go of.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Wendy's talking in the chat about she likes the idea of cutting the cord, and maybe this will work better than dieting.
Yeah.
And she's trying to lose weight. She loves to cook and she loves food. And I might just make a suggestion is to trade up. Mm-hmm. When we're letting go of one thing, we all need food, right? You have to have food. But what kind of food and how often do you need that food? So trade up, so rather than having, a fried something, you're going to trade it up for something else. It doesn't mean you can't ever have that fried something again. You just don't need it right now. And that's something that has really helped me. I've gone up and down in my weight like a yo-yo over the years, and in 1 year I lost 55 pounds just by trading up and trying to understand how my body was responding to food, because each of us does. And emotionally, something that this might help you is whenever people would irritate me, I'd find myself, my whole body would stress. And I realized that when I was a kid, I was hearing a thing called be big and strong. So I had this psychological association that if you're bigger, you're stronger, which is kind of crazy. So I kept talking to my body to say you don't need to be big to be strong. So I was letting go of these other mental associations. And I'll tell you, it takes a lifetime to figure out all those little seeds that have been planted in our minds. So it's like trade it up. When you become aware of something, then trade up for something else, and you can let go of that old thing a little bit easier, I think.
Mm-hmm. And, another thing to use, we talked about cutting the cord. We talked about releasing the need. But sometimes you can embrace something too. And you have to ask yourself this question, if, especially when with dieting or weight loss and that sort of thing. You know, there's, like Dr. Hunter was talking about, there's a trade-off, and obviously you want to trade up. But you can also embrace something. I mean, I've used this before, but I started riding my bike, a bike, 3 years ago almost now. It's been almost 3 years. And lately I've been doing 12 miles every day because I, you know, it helps to keep my blood sugar in check and obviously the exercise and all that. And it's just something I've gotten in the habit of doing. But, you know, when I first started, I mean, to ride around the block, my legs were killing me. I hadn't ridden a bike in jeepers 35 plus maybe 40 years. You know, well, since I got my driver's license, I used to ride my bike all the time prior to being 16. And after that, I never rode it again because, you know, why bother? But, you know, the idea of me getting on a bike and exercising was like, you got to be kidding. It's like about as remote as me starting a church, which also happened. But the point is that I embraced it. And I said, I'm going to do this. I've got to do something. I can't run, you know, too old to do that, joints and feet and all that. But I can ride a bike, and I'm going to ride it, and I'm going to get good at it, or, you know, at least be able to ride a few miles a day. And so that's the idea of embracing something. Is there a good reason why not to embrace it? That's another line of thinking that might work for you. So anyway.
You know, if I can add, I think not only for habits, I think sometimes it's about people. When we have to let go of people in our life, it's very difficult to let go. And there's a couple of things I might add about that. Sometimes it's not as simple as cutting a cord. I think it's about, I miss the friend I used to have, you know, and be in that grieving place, but that friend you had is no longer your friend. Yeah. You know, so it's that little bit of a reality check, whether that's an old relationship or even family members, I got to tell you. You know, I mean, is my life poorer for not having them in it? Because I'm in love with the idea of the family, or I'm in love with the notion of what it could be rather than what it actually is. And this is where I think that the hardest thing to let go of and cut the cord with is being in love with potential. Mm-hmm. And spiritually, we're all in love with potential. But in the real life human world, we have to look at what's actual. Mm-hmm. And so it's to make that, you know, slight little check in your mind about am I in love with the idea of what I had versus what is real. And even when it comes to letting go of people, you know, it again, you got to trade up and start accepting, you know, Sherry just said, acceptance of letting go of people who we no longer are on the same path is hard. And it absolutely is hard. That's a grieving process. Yeah. And you're probably always going to have that. You know, it's like that's a pain in your heart that you'll always have. And we grow accustomed to being in pain. Now, life is not pain-free. And I think this is another kind of fallacy that we want perfection, we want pain-free, we want all these other ideas, that we need to let go of those ideas. You know, cut the cord to those belief systems, because life is going to be, it's going to toss us some bad days. It's going to toss us some curveballs, and, you know, you think cancer will never happen to you, you know, and these things, but it happens, and why not you? And we're all people, we're all in this boat together, so to speak. So I think once we start letting go of some of those kind of concepts, then we can have room to share with new, brighter, better, and more progressive. That's just something I wanted to throw in there.
Good points. All right, so appreciate everybody's thoughts on that and those comments in the chat room, too. If you'd like a card pulled from our Inner Oracle card deck, please put your name in the chat room. We'll get to pulling those here in just a sec. The Inner Oracle cards are simply cards that get you thinking. They've got nuggets and bits of wisdom on them and things that are really taught in our curriculum in our school. So that's the Inner Oracle card deck, self-discovery cards. All right, so who's first?
Michael, maybe you want to start us off with the card for Dr. Edward, please.
I'd be happy to. And for Dr. Edward, I pulled number 26, Energy Signature. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
Yes, I always liked that card. You know, that concept of energy signatures just makes so much sense with relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if our energy signature is in harmony with another, then we're going to get along, because like attracts like. If it's not in harmony with it, then we're going to repel, because like attracts like. And, you know, different people will repel each other. But if they're the same on some harmonic level, and it can be unhealthy. That's the thing. Your energy signature, you know, think of it in terms of healthy or unhealthy energy signatures. People with healthy energy signatures generally attract other people with healthy energy signatures.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa.
And I'd just like to point out how easily you can apply that card to the concept of, you know, the past, cutting the cord, how we move on to the future, that line of keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy, you know, is perfect about, you know, remove what is unhealthy from the past that might be holding you back from going ahead.
But. Yep, good point.
Well, we have William up next, and William, if you resonate with this one, number 36, gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while freely giving without a want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended. You know, so it's not just about being grateful outwardly, it's about receiving it. And that really, I think, it comes down to a sense of love, you know, and letting that love with gratitude flow between us. And so it's not always easy. It's not an easy one sometimes. But anyway, I think I can certainly resonate with that at some point. So that one was for you, William. We have Wendy up next. Michael, I believe.
And for Wendy, I pulled number 19. Invoke the counselor within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
What was the face value of that card, son?
19.
And the words, face value? What does it say?
Invoke the counselor within.
Thank you.
Sherry, I have number 10 for you in the existential suit. Indomitable power of the human spirit. Kind of gives me chills. The human spirit's unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, your powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing's out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way. I think you just got a cosmic shot there. Sherry. Oh, good for you. We have Dr. Angie up next. Michael?
And for Dr. Angie, I pulled wild card number 6, entropy. And I don't know if we pulled this one in a while, but...
No, it's been a while.
Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still, and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires an adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is a better place.
Good.
Well, now we have Julian. Julian from Spain, where it's 4 a.m. Good for you, yeah. Julian. I pulled number 27, gains. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you... Yeah, good one, eh?
Yeah.
What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains. You know, if I may say this, Julian was talking in the chat room that he's had cancer twice, and I've also had cancer, but I am grateful to say I'm 30-some years cancer-free. What I learned through my process is to embrace it. And I know that sounds kind of bonkers when you feel like you're fighting a disease. Well, I embraced it. And if I'm going to die, I'm going to die. But I'm going to learn as much as I can from this situation. I'm going to learn about my body. I'm going to learn about my emotions, my spirituality, and make it my friend because I have it to be my friend for whatever, no matter the outcome. Now, I'm not meaning to minimize how alarming, because I went to bed for a week. When the doctor told me I had cancer, I was in bed for a week. Like, me? Cancer? Are you kidding? But, you know, you kind of shake yourself off and say, okay, what am I going to do about this? So it's right in keeping with what we've been talking about from the beginning of tonight, what was I willing to trade? What was I willing to let go of? I was now faced with something smacking me right in the face to say, oh, you have this to do now. Whatever you thought was important before, you got to let go of that because it's just not important. So, yeah, it's got cutting the cord to old belief systems. So, again, to make it my friend, and thankfully I am still here. Not all people, of course. We know cancer is a great killer. But, again, I had this philosophy making death my friend, that whatever is my time, it's my time. And I'm just going to live to the best of my ability for while I'm here. And I got to tell you, sometimes I wonder how it is. I think I'm long past my expiry date, but I'm still here. So, you know, it's like the best yeah. before date. I don't know. But you got to, and I have given talks to people in wellness groups about making cancer your friend, making disease your friend. They don't like it. We don't like to hear it. It's really irritating. It feels like you're invalidating pain. That is not the intent. We're not it. We can't invalidate the journey. Quite the opposite. We validate the journey by embracing whatever it is that we're there, that we got to deal with it. So how do you want to deal with it? So I just wanted to share that, maybe add to that conversation. And if anybody out there, you know, can find a little, you know, a word or two that, you know, resonates with you to embrace the journey of life. It sucks sometimes. There's no doubt about it. It's like, oh, are you kidding me? Now what? You know, but hey, you know, I've got good life skills. I'll keep learning. And never give the responsibility of your life away to others. I want to say that again. Don't give the responsibility of your life to others. Take in all the information that you get, whether it's from a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, whatever, and then decide for yourself what you know to be true for you. First of all, nobody knows your body better than you. And if you didn't know it before, you're going to get to know it. So make sure you work with people then who are listening to you and who work with you. So.
Excellent points. Great, great comments. So good stuff tonight, folks. And I mean, we talked about a number of things. We talked about concepts for letting go of unwanted things or behavior. We talked about energy signatures, gratitude, invoking accounts from within, the indomitable power of the human spirit, entropy, gains, and the last thing we want to do, I forgot to mention, is we want to read the Greatness to Deliver card number 30 that Sherry had pulled for the group. Dr. Hunter, would you read that for us?
The number again is...
Number 30. Number 30.
I got it. Okay. Pardon. Okay. I just closed my book. You caught me by surprise there. I was going to leave that one to Michael. Greatness to deliver. There you go. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what's common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world.
And that's a great card to end this discussion on. You know,
it sure
look,
is.
Look inside. Pull out that greatness. Let go of the need to do anything you don't want to do. Embrace that which you should do. And just keep on moving forward. So we appreciate everybody's time and attention tonight. Thanks to those of you joining us live, those listening to the archives. We appreciate that. Thanks to Dr. Hunter and to Michael. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.